Leo? Moving on to paper number three now.
Good morning, everybody. Agenda paper number three discusses two issues related to the recognition of the federal tax asset when an entity is loss-making. The first issue is whether S2L requires that a deferred tax asset is recognized regardless of an entity's expectations of future tax losses when there are suitable reversible taxable temporary differences. The committee discussed this issue in November and tentatively decided not to add the first issue to its agenda and asked the staff to do some further analysis on the second issue. The second issue is how the guidance in S2L should be applied when the tax laws limit the recovery of tax losses to a certain portion of taxable profits each year. An example of this issue is in paragraph 8 of the paper. We think that according to paragraph 28 and 35 of S2L, an entity should offset the appropriate taxable temporary differences against its losses carried forward. In our view, in this SPAC partner, the appropriate taxable temporary difference that can be offset against the tax losses carried forward are limited to the extent allowed by the tax law. We think that a deferred tax asset on the remaining tax losses carried forward should be recognized only if the requirements in paragraph 29 and 36 of S12 are met, and so if there are future taxable profits or tax planning opportunities. We think that the guidance in S12 on the recognition of deferred tax assets when an entity is loss-making is sufficiently clear. Consequently, we recommend that the committee should not take issue 1 and issue 2 to its agenda. We ask the committee members if they agree with our conclusion and recommendation and if they have any comments on our proposed tentative agenda decision in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Laurence?
I am in view one. That's where I would like the outcome to be. But I must admit that by reading IS-12, I'm not sure that what is written in paragraph 18b, that is when the entity expects future tax losses, the tax law limitation is not relevant and the losses carry forward can be used in full against the reversing of taxable temporary differences. In my understanding, deferred tax assets arise from at least two different sources. One which is deductible temporary differences, one which is tax losses, recovery of tax losses. On the first one, can you recognize deferred tax asset? And it is very important that I say, can you recover deferred tax asset? You don't recover deferred tax liabilities, and your paper is written as saying you recover deferred tax liabilities. No, we are assessing whether you recover deferred tax assets. So if you have deductible temporary differences, how much can you recover, or how do they transform in deferred tax assets against the deferred tax liabilities? And here, there is a cap that applies because the tax law limits, and you have a timing that applies. So indeed, because of the timing, the two things, the tax law and the timing, you can only impute deductible temporary differences up to the cap authorized by law against the taxable temporary differences. With tax losses, that's the same thing. If you generate taxable profits, you can only impute a certain amount of the tax losses. But that does not mean that the remaining tax losses, you can't impute them. That just means that instead of recovering them faster, you're going to take more time to recover them. You need taxable profits in the longer term to recover them. So for the tax losses situation, it's just an assessment of the time period and are those tax losses carried forward indefinitely or not. So I do make a difference. So I think I'm getting where you are,
okay.
But I think this is not explained clearly. And that paragraph 18b, indeed, you can say, okay, I have the reversal of the taxable temporary difference. This is going to reduce future tax losses. So does that enable me to recover? So this is why I wasn't sure that we could definitely prohibit the 18B.
Andrew?
I agree with the staff analysis on this issue. I think approach one is, B1 is the right answer on the second issue. If you've got a tax loss brought forward of 100 and you've got a taxable temporary difference of 100, ignoring any other tax effects, and that temporary difference reverses, then you'll recover 60 of your tax loss in the system we're discussing, and the remaining 40 you will assess against the normal IAS 12 deferred tax asset recognition criteria. So if my understanding of the tax system is correct, then yeah, I do agree with your analysis, and I think IAS 12 does get you there. I do have some, I think, in broad terms, the agenda decision, I think, is just good with a little bit more precision in terms of what we're dealing with. To clarify, for example, we are talking about recognition of a deferred tax asset for carried forward tax losses, but I can send in drafting suggestions independently.
John, your light's on, but I don't know if you wanted to come in or not.
No, I didn't, but I agree with the staff.
Okay. Tony, I think you're next.
I also agree with the staff paper. I think it exactly reflects
the requirements of IAS 12. I also think it's consistent with the conclusion that we just reached in connection with the previous paper. I think it reflects, insofar as IAS 12 allows you to, the economics, which is why I think it's the right answer, because the conclusion we reached last time was to say you book a deferred tax asset to the extent of the deferred tax liability, because the benefit of the reversing deductible temporary difference or loss carry forward will mean that you would not end up paying that deferred tax liability. Then when you then say, well, there's a loss limitation, the loss limitation changes that situation. So I think this exactly reflects the requirements of IAS 12 and also the economics, to the extent that you can get there when you are required to record the deferred tax liability. So I think it's exactly the right answer. I also have a couple of drafting suggestions, though, that we could deal with separately.
Martin?
I miss a little bit the discussion why there is diversity in praxis and what is the reason. I mean, we have the challenge that tax systems are quite different from country to country. And I fear a little bit that without considering why we have this diversity and what is really the background, we would come to a kind of, say, interpretation, which for sure is end up into a non-interpretation, but the wording in the interpretation could narrow current practice, and I believe we should spend a little bit more effort to get some insights why it is handled in a specific way. It might be okay when we now publish our tentative decision that we get these kinds of comments and then reconsider it, but this is my kind of concern.
Leo, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, we did some analysis with a few countries that has this specific tax law. And in particular, in one jurisdiction, the predominant approach is VIEW 2. We reflected the this view in the paper, and we also try to understand. I understand that our proposal is against this view in this particular jurisdiction, but I think that is compliant with IS-12. So we did already some analysis, and then we expect comment letters, as you said, on the tentative agenda decision. But the viewpoint of this jurisdiction is reflected in the VIEW 2 in the paper.
Reinhardt?
I also agree with the staff analysis, and I think consistent with the comments of some others, it'll be important from the wording perspective of the tenet of the agenda or the agenda decision to make sure that we distinguish or ensure that it's not inconsistent, at least on the surface, with our agenda paper too. So I had a couple of wording suggestions as well to be considered in that respect.
Yeah, one comment not apropos of this issue, but we do need to make sure when we submit wording, when you submit wording suggestions, that they all include matters that my daughter, the barrister, would call matters already admitted into evidence. So we've occasionally had stuff come through as wording suggestions that aren't recognizable as anything we talked about around the table. And we do need to be absolutely certain that anything that goes into these agenda decisions reflects what's on the public record. So that's just a discipline we all have to adopt. It's easy after the fact to go, oh, yeah, we should have been. No, we can't do that. So. Go into the phone. Sandy?
Yeah, I've got nothing else to add.
Okay. Shelley?
No comments. Thank you.
Okay. I see general support.
Just ask if Luca's joined.
Has Luca joined? Last time I asked, he wasn't there. Don, did you want to come in?
Yeah, thank you. Can I just add that consistent with what various people have said, we had also heard that the drafting perhaps was difficult to understand and could be tightened up. I haven't got specific, but if people are going to input drafting suggestions, I think that would be welcome from what I'd heard too. Thank you.
Certainly. All right, do I see any objections subject editorial tightening? Okay. None appearing, we'll proceed.